we're back for the sequential interviewing skill phase, and please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we don't want to do anything that hurts your church. We want to build up your church. So help us, O God. Give us insight. Give us what we need. Give us that wisdom that only comes from your heavenly kingdom. We thank you, and we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the sequential interviewing process, this is where you win it, and this is where you will lose it. This is the place that your expertise will show up, the sequential interviewing skills. Here's how it works. We're going to use the quick process, which is when you ask a question, a general question. Then you have an undertaker question. That is a probing question. And then as you're in the conversation, you might have an insight and have another question to ask that is based upon the information given to you at that time. Then you want to ask a confirming question. This is a question that seeks to get at corroborating evidence to back up the applicant's statement. And when you do this, you will have knowledge. You will have knowledge that you can base your decision on. Now, when you're asking these questions, there's two points that I need to make. First, it is very appropriate to set reasonable expectations. For instance, you might say to an applicant, "We do not expect perfect pastors because we all have fallen short of the glory of God." And remember, be sincere that you are not hiring a saint, nor are you hiring a sinner. You are hiring a saint sinner. And this applicant's life will reflect this. And by the way, if I was to do a background investigation on your life, it will definitely reflect it as well, wouldn't it? So set reasonable expectations. And this is very important, though. If an applicant doesn't think you have reasonable expectations, they're not going to tell you anything adverse. But if they understand that you have a reasonable understanding of our frailty as humans, they're more likely to confide in you. Also, give a face-saving opportunity. You might say to the applicant, "As you know, applications don't provide enough room to fully explain events that have happened to us." And you know what? They don't. In fact, even if they did, sometimes we just plain forget to include important items on them. Hey, it's true that applicants fill these things out in a hurry. They take shortcuts, but there's no problem here. Many are willing to make it right at the interview. So give them that opportunity. Set reasonable expectations and give them face-saving opportunities. The bottom line is we simply want to get at the truth, and we want to be able to see what the Holy Spirit wants us to see. All right, I'm going to give you some quick examples using the quick process. We're going to look at four examples here. Sequence number one. Here's the general question. "Would you like to add anything that is not included in the materials you sent to us at this time?" They can add something positive that's happened to them or something adverse. Here's the undertaker question. "Before we move on, any adverse information about your ministry career that you would like to add now?" This makes the applicant realize that you're looking for adverse information. And obviously, you're not going to be real happy if you find some in the background check, but it wasn't revealed early on. And based on their answer, you might have an insight question to add here. Confirming question. "For instance, have you listed all the jobs you've been involved in the last 5 years, including part-time work?" Many pastors have part-time work. but they don't include it on their resume. They don't think it's relevant, but it may very well be relevant, and it may be a source of information for you. So you need to specifically ask it. Also, it's important to ask your questions in 5-year increments. Particularly, the most recent 5 years are the most important areas to investigate. Now, this particular question, have you listed all jobs you've been involved in for the last 5 years, including part-time work? Studies have shown that 50% of the applicants will reveal jobs that they hadn't listed. So it is a very worthwhile question. One of the insight questions that you could ask is, did you experience any difficulties with these employers? That is, the employers that they had listed. And again, a high percentage, 50% again, will tell you yes. 31% in studies have shown that they'll tell you they were fired by these employers. 8% will tell you they were suspended. 16% will say that they had a reprimand. The bottom line here is you will get information. And under that little line that has knowledge in front of it and there's lines with it, you're going to be writing a lot of information. This is a questioning sequence that is very seldom asked in most interviews, but it ought to be asked because you can get a very fine yield from this sort of questioning. Okay, example number two, question sequence number two. Here's your general question. Why did you leave your last church? It'll be interesting to hear that story. But here's the undertaker probe. If you hadn't resigned, do you think they would have asked you to leave? This is a huge question in the world of the Christian church, isn't it? Any of us who've had any experience in the church know that very often the way churches work, before they bring down the hammer of discipline, before they bring down the hammer, they give the pastor an opportunity to get out of Dodge. Or many pastors are wise enough to see that the church is getting ready to call a meeting to bring down that hammer of discipline, and they get out in the nick of time. This is the undertaker question. If you hadn't resigned, do you think you would have been asked to leave? It might yield some very interesting results. An insight question that you might ask is, were there any other reasons you left? Now, and when you ask the general question, why did you leave your last church, they may give you some spiritually acceptable reason. But usually we don't just have one reason for leaving a church. We have a multiple reasons. So it's important to ask what those other reasons are as well. Confirming question. When we contact this church, what will they say is the reason you left? Whoa, can that put a thud in someone's heart? That's telling them that you are going to ask, and it also gives them an opportunity to tell you, well, maybe not everyone was happy about me. So they'll carry on that conversation with you. Then you ask another confirming question. Who would be a good person for us to talk to about this? These type of questions usually yield some valuable information. Now we go on to question sequence number three, the general question. Have you had any experience with well-intentioned dragons in the church setting? A well-intentioned dragon is a book that was written to pastors about members in churches. A well-intentioned dragon is someone who gives you a compliment and disses you all at the same time. That's an example of one. For instance, someone might come up to you and say, Pastor, that was a great sermon, but you know, you're no Chuck Swindoll. Well, you thank them, thank you for telling me I'm a, you know, did a good job today, but did you have to tell me I was no Chuck Swindoll? You know, I know that Ken Jones doesn't have the skill sets as Pastor Swindoll does. He is a great and wonderful Bible expositor. But do you really have to tell me I'm no Chuck Swindoll? No, but those are the type of well-intentioned dragon situations that pastors have. Stuart Briscoe, to me, gives the best definition of a pastor. He says that a pastor has the mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros. That is exactly what a good pastor is. The mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros. These type of questions that we are asking right now are trying to help you measure how thick the hide that pastor has, because being in the local church is a rough and tumble world. There is a lot of barbs coming the pastor's way. Do they have the wherewithal to handle them? How thick is their rhino hide? That's what you're trying to find. So the Undertaker probe is, in the past 2 years, has anyone under your ministry complained about you? That's a good question to ask. You might get some interesting insight. If you ask, gain some conversation with them, and then you will have an insight question, undoubtedly, that you can ask to follow up. And then you want to ask a confirming question. That is, how did you feel about these situations? And what would you do differently in each case? You want to assess, have they learned any wisdom on how to handle people in the rough and tumble world of the local church? And you'll write down what you discover. Here's a question, example sequence number 4. Here's the general question. Do you spend time with God in prayer and personal, how do you spend time with God in prayer and personal Bible reading? Why is that important? Well, you're getting at their relationship with God. But here's the Undertaker probe. How does your devotional life help you with stress, particularly stress in the church, and temptations? Wow. This is big. This is huge. Because studies have shown that a pastor that has a vibrant devotional life is better able to handle stress than one that doesn't. Also, Christianity Today had a very, actually it was Leadership Journal, had a very interesting study where they discovered that one of the common denominators of pastors who committed adultery while they were serving as pastors had zero, and I mean zero, devotional time before the Lord. And this is a critical part of your job to assess, to the best of your ability, their heart before God. So you want to definitely have an insight question here as they speak to you. And Jesus, by the way, in the Garden of Gethsemane, had an enormous amount of stress. And he was the greatest pastor, shepherd of all time. And he resorted to what? Prayer. And Jesus had an enormous amount of temptation in the wilderness. I pronounce that better than Gethsemane. In the wilderness. And he had enormous temptation. And he resorted to what? The Word of God. You want to probe here. You want to spend some time. Don't settle for general religious answers. Get to the meat of the matter here. Confirming question. What Bible verse did you read today for your devotions? Would you mind sharing with us how the Holy Spirit moved, molded, or mended you with this verse? Spend time here, brothers and sisters. Spend time here. The Holy Spirit will do a work. Now, here's some special tips to dig as deep as you can in the interview. Follow the 20 2080 rule. What is the 2080 rule? The 2080 rule is you as the committee should only do 20% of the talking, and the applicant should be doing 80% of the talking. Remember, you are to elicit information from the applicant in order to evaluate it to see if you're going to endorse this person to the church. If you are doing the talking, if the members of the committee are doing the talking, you are not getting valuable information from that applicant. Keep that applicant talking. Remember, this is not a multiple choice test or a fill in the blank test. If you ever have to fill in the blank on what an applicant believes or do the multiple choice, you did not do the interview thoroughly enough. This, my friends, is an open book test for the committee, and the applicant is the subject matter expert of their life. They have all the answers. If you've got any questions, any doubts, take it to that applicant. Make sure they give you a satisfying answer. Let me read you a passage from the Didache. The Didache is one of the earliest church documents that indicate how the Christians put their faith into practice. And the Didache has this fantastic quote about falsehood and truth. Let me read you the quote. It says, "Do not equivocate in thought or speech, for a double tongue is a deadly snare. The words you speak should not be false or empty phrases, but fraught with purposeful action." I love that last phrase. Truthful words should be fraught with purposeful action. They should be filled with purposeful action, with information that you can dig into and you really use to answer the question that you asked, that it really satisfies your heart, mind, and soul. You are looking for answers that are fraught with purposeful action. So please do not let the applicant flip the committee. That is when the applicant becomes the interviewer and you become the ones who are interviewed. Don't let that happen. Now, at the end, it is true that they should have time to ask some questions, but not during the heart of the interview. Don't let them filibuster the time away. Some applicants will, if you have 8 questions, they will wax eloquent on 4 out of the 8, but they'll give you very little on the rest. Don't let that happen. Don't let them frazzle the situation. Sometimes they will notice a weakness or a debate within the committee, and they will try to exploit that. Don't let them do that. Have a covenant as a committee that your job is not to debate, your job is not to talk, your job is not to grandstand, but your job is to elicit information, as much information as you can get from that applicant.